We are so blessed this morning to have a wonderful friend of the house, Brother Keith Hershey, all the way from California. Let's give him a big hand this morning. Now, I've known Brother Keith for, believe it or not, it's shocking to say, but going on close to 20 years at this point, because we've been doing the church almost 15, and then I was on staff in Shreveport, and that was where I met Brother Keith there when he started coming to minister there. And when we started the church, we began to support Mutual Faith as a church. Brother Keith is one of the five missionaries that we support and partner with as a church, and that's a big part of what we do as a church is support missions. And one of the sort of visions of our church when we started, we didn't want to partner with 100 different missionaries, you know, and just we just wanted to really pray about who God would have us support. And so that number is small because we wanted to make a big impact, as big as we could. And so we've supported Mutual Faith from the outset. And Mutual Faith is celebrating 40 years of ministry this year. And when I first met Brother, right around the time I first met Brother Keith, it was weird, we were talking about this last night. I met him and attended his 25-year ministry anniversary. That was over in California. And I was like, how have we come this far? That, I guess I'm getting older. One of us is getting older. Both of us is getting older. But anyway, and so Brother Keith is a tremendous friend, provides a lot of wisdom and counsel and insight to me personally and to our church. He's on our board of directors. And we share a passion together for basketball. Brother Keith was a basketball player in high school, and then a coach later, coached junior varsity and varsity in California. But he played in Michigan. And all this time of knowing Brother Keith, I did not know, I was very shocked to find this out, I did not know that he played against Magic Johnson in high school. And they went to Michigan. They didn't go to the same school. He played against him, but he's from Michigan. And in the game that he played against Magic Johnson, it was a close game. It was a close game. And I found out that Magic Johnson had 20 points, 18 rebounds, and one block. And guess who that one block was against? Brother Keith Hershey. So he was never the same after that. He just retired and... No, I'm kidding. But anyway, we are blessed to have Brother Keith Hershey. Before he comes, we have a quick video that we want to show. We've got a short video showing some of the things over the 40 years that Mutual Faith has done and accomplished. And let's watch this together.
For the past 40 years, Mutual Faith Ministries International has simply desired to be present to help. This is exactly what our world needs, especially in these very troubled times. Founded in 1984 by Keith and Heidi Hershey, Mutual Faith Ministries was launched. This mission's ministry expression is based on a simple desire expressed in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, to see people and impart to them the love of God. Simply to be present. To be present in people's lives makes all the difference in their world. And this is the simple, life-giving ministry expression of Mutual Faith Ministries. In order to facilitate this mission assignment, Mutual Faith Ministries has established life centers, built mission centers, rescued disadvantaged children and orphans in our life homes, educated hundreds of kids in our Life Unlimited schools, rescued and restored women from Trokosi slavery, educated a new generation of Christian leaders throughout the world, provided relief to thousands of refugees in Africa and the Middle East in times of war and political upheaval and natural disasters, rebuilt life centers after massive destructive calamity, provided rest, restoration, and renewal for Christian leaders at our retreat centers, preached and introduced thousands to the gospel of God's love in Christ all over the world. And by God's grace, Mutual Faith Ministries will continue to be present to help everyone, everywhere.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What a great treat to be with you once again. Thank you so much, Pastor, for inviting me to hang out with you all. This is really one of my favorite places and spaces to be. And so I'm always refreshed and blessed on my journeys to be with you all. So thank you very much. I did get a tour this morning of the new youth facilities and the gymnasium. It's just spectacular what God's given you as a church family. I'm so excited about everything happening here with the church collectively and in your life too. God is working in you. Can you imagine? This is the beauty of the Father's love for each and every one of us. So thank you for allowing Heidi and I and the teams of Mutual Faith to be an extension of your love and life. Like your pastor said, he's known me about 20 years. He is getting to be an old man. I've noticed that about him though. But, you know, I was thinking about 40 years of Mutual Faith. I don't even feel like I'm 40. You know, inside I feel like I'm about 17. And sometimes people say I still act kind of like I'm 17. But time is moving on, and Heidi and I are marching on, and we're just thankful. We really, really are. And so to look at some of the pictures of days gone by, but still what's happening now, very, very exciting to me. I'm just thankful that I can hold something in my heart that the Father planted there. And this is the call God gives us individually and collectively as a people. You all have a calling, an assignment as the saints planted in this place of One Life. So I'm very, very excited and thrilled about it. I did tell your pastor he wanted to go a little one-on-one with me this morning before the service. I told him I would school him after the service. Hallelujah. But anyway, I said I got to prepare to preach. No, really, I was sharing with some of the young people over there while we were just chit-chatting with some of the your youth in the gym, and I did share that little story about Magic Johnson, but magic would never be magic without me. Hallelujah. It takes some anointing to come alongside people. I had to be present to help magic be magic. Hallelujah. You know, this little idea that we conveyed in the video, present to help, I was trying to put in words what Mutual Faith is about, because a lot of times people don't understand spiritual terminology, especially if you haven't grown up in a church or a spirit-filled church. So when I talk about impartation power, that people, you know, they don't get it. They don't comprehend these kind of thoughts. So I came up with the idea, this whole concept that Heidi and I have lived out for these last 40 years is based in Romans 1, that verse we read. Paul said, I long to see you that I might impart to you spiritual things or spiritual gifts, which will establish you, strengthen you, and encourage you in mutual faith. So that's where mutual faith, the phrase, came from. This has never been a ministry about me. It's been a ministry about God's people who join their faith together. And so this is what we've tried to live out. But as I came up with a little thought to present the idea of what is mutual faith over 40 years, I came up with the idea of just being present to help. Present. You know, this is what our world needs. Our world needs people like you and me who can hang out with somebody who doesn't get it. They don't comprehend the light. They don't comprehend the love of God. It's too outrageous for them. How can God forgive me? How can God hold nothing against me? I'm a rascal. You know what I mean? Somebody's got to be present to help. But this is really what your Father does. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God is present to help you. See, you and I do what our Father does. We're present to help. And when do we help people? When they're in trouble. Now, if you're in trouble today, you're not necessarily in a bad place. Because it's in trouble is where God's present to help. He helps in trouble. Now, I don't know about you. I have troubles in my life. I had troubles this morning. I received probably 8 phone calls this morning with trouble. In different situations, different things I'm trying to solve and resolve. And I'm telling everybody, hey, I'm in Alexandria. I'm getting ready to go preach. Leave me alone. But I didn't. I calmed my heart and I was present in the moment to try to help. And hopefully help is there now and on the way and things are happening okay. But we all understand what it's like to feel like there's trouble. We all understand what it's like not to know what to do. But this is why we gather. This is why we come. This is why we lift our hands. By the way, didn't the praise team, boy, they're awesome here. Just awesome. Yeah. And I've never heard a couple of those songs. They're excellent. I'm just blessed and moved and stirred. But it fills me. It gives me hope. It's putting my faith in God. I'm casting my care. I'm giving him my trouble because, you know, the Lord is present to help when there's trouble. And this to me is what Mutual Faith has been doing for 40 years. We enter environments of trouble. The world's chaotic, man. It's nuts. The world is upside down crazy in the natural realm. You and I are in the kingdom, so we can bring and see things through a different lens, right? Through the lens of the Lamb of God. And we go into people's world when they're in trouble and we're present. Sometimes when I'm present, I'm not telling them how to fix anything. I'm just present. So we have to discern the environment in what to do, what to say, so God can draw them to ask and seek and find. And they will. And they'll find usually through people like you, people like me, people who just are present. To me, this really defines what the church is. You know, sometimes when we think about doing things, we think of doing good things. And I like good things. You know, feeding people, clothing people. Jesus said, if you do it to the least, you've done it unto him. I like those things. We've seen, we do those things. Good things. But I don't want to talk about doing good things in that sense this morning. I want to talk about being present to help in terms of people understanding the light. Understanding the gospel. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of people who have heard the gospel and they don't get it. You know why you can tell they don't get it? Because there's no transformation in their world. There's no transformation in their thinking. There's no transformation in life. In other words, the light shone upon them and they comprehend it not. They don't get it. Let's go with me in your Bible. If you have a Bible, if not, we'll have the verses on the screen. John's Gospel chapter 1. This is where the Apostle John talks about Jesus. Let's start in verse 4 of John 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, In him was life, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light. The life was the light. Notice what the light is. The light isn't just Jesus, it's the life of Jesus. The life is the light. So when we preach the light, when we share the light, it's the life of the Lamb. The life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. This is New King James Version. Some translations says the darkness didn't overtake it. There could be different ways in the nuance of language to think about this. It's like if all the lights in the sanctuary were off and it's pitch dark in here and somebody hit the switch and the light came on, the darkness is not going to overtake the light. The light will prevail. That's one way to understand this word. But the other way is comprehend it. Comprehend it. Have you ever had a communication with your spouse and you didn't comprehend? None of you. This is why this is such a spiritual place here. None of you struggle like I struggle. You know, sometimes my wife, Heidi, and I, we've been married 42 years. And I don't get it. Or sometimes I share things with her which I think are so... You know, since I am such a master communicator, somebody say amen. Since the man of God spoke, she should comprehend. She doesn't. She doesn't get it. We're like on different wavelengths. You know, it'd be like somebody who's like a real scholar. Like sometimes my son, who's a scholar in theology, he talks to me. I'm just a simple gospel preacher. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't comprehend what he's saying. It's like if I had to talk to a scientist or some physics, you know, scholar or something, and they're trying to explain something, I couldn't comprehend it. See, there's a lot of times the life of Jesus, the light of the gospel shines, people don't get it. They don't comprehend it. It doesn't change their mind. It doesn't change the way they go about their life. It doesn't change anything. And so we live in a world where the light of the gospel has shined on people's lives, but they're not connecting. They're discarding it. They're setting it aside in our culture today. It's not important. It's diminished. But I think when I think of, you know, mutual faith in what we do as a mission organization, and you saw our campuses, and God's blessed us. We have wonderful campuses, wonderful teams. By the way, they're all run by national leaders. So we have indigenous leaders around the world. And I'm just the guy. People think that, you know, it's like my capacity or gifting that does this stuff. It's really not. I just carry the vision. I'm the vision carrier, and God shows me who to join my faith with. And things happen, and it's beautiful. Like we were just in the Middle East, and I was in Beirut at our biggest campus. You saw the Life Center there, and it's just magnificent. Jammed every night for Kingdom Fiesta and leadership events and everything. But then I was in Amman, Jordan. Now, in Amman, Jordan, we just opened a center. We opened it in June of last year. So this is brand new. It'll be a year old in another week or two. But it's filled with Palestinian people. And in the kingdom of Jordan is different than Lebanon. Lebanon has more of a freedom of speech and freedom of religion to a degree. Amman, Jordan, in the kingdom, it doesn't have that kind of freedom to share the gospel. So you have to do it in different ways. You have to be present in different ways based on the culture or the environment you're in. Isn't that true? I mean, we all have to be different things to different people at different times. But the key is to be present to help where the revelation of the love of God captures them and brings a transformation. And so like in Amman, Jordan, is very difficult now, because when I was there, you know, everybody's overwhelmed with the Israel-Hamas war. Heidi and I, we were down on the Jordan River. We went to Mount Ebal, you know, where Moses, you know, put up the serpent, you know, and those who looked lived, you know, looking to the Lamb. You know, we got to be present where we change the worldview of people and brings transformation. This is what Jesus does when he's preached and when he's understood. And but you know, we're there on the Jordan River, and you know, from here to the back of the sanctuary is Israel. The Israel flags are there with the you know, we're there, and yet Israel's at war with Gaza and in Hamas and in these things. And so you have believers who are of Palestinian descent asking me questions. You know, it's a little uncomfortable trying to figure out, okay, with the nuance of language and everything, how do you share things? You know, all of us have situations in life where sometimes it's a little uncomfortable to figure out how do we say what we need to say so people can hear us and comprehend us. Have you ever said something the wrong way and people shut you down? Like, I've said a thing or two to my wife before, and it wasn't the right way to say it. It made the disconnect even greater. But none of you have ever experienced these kind of things. This is why I like the saints at this place. Hallelujah. But comprehending the light. So it says the darkness didn't comprehend it. Look at verse 10. Some translations say the darkness didn't grasp it. People don't grasp it. You know, we preach to people the love of God in Christ. They come to church, and there's nothing about their life that's transformed. They don't grasp it. They don't get it. It's not part of their soul. It's not a transforming work yet. It's just like there, but they don't get it. And this is where the Holy Spirit, he does the work in all of our lives. And it's, you know, I'm only a believer because the Lord helps me believe. The Spirit of God gave me faith, grace to believe. To me, it's a beautiful thing. That's why I worship too. Thank you, Lord. I'm a believer. You helped me in this. I can't take any credit for none of it. You've done it all, and you've done it all well. But look in John chapter 1, a few verses later. This is verse 10. It says, Jesus was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him. Do you know, if you don't comprehend something, you can't receive it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. You don't receive. A lot of times people today, They'll say, well, Jesus did a perfect work and everything's fine. People got to do nothing. But I'm of the persuasion you and I have to receive. We receive an abundance of grace. We receive the gift of righteousness. And then you reign. You reign in life by receiving. And to receive, you've got to comprehend the beauty of the light. And this is what I think ministry is all about. Ministry is about being among brothers and sisters and helping each other get it, where we're transformed, where there's a beautiful work of the Spirit in our lives. We need to properly interpret the light of Jesus, the living word. Verse 12 says in John 1, but it is as many as received him, to them he gives power to understand their position as children of God, to believe on his name. It's a beautiful thing when you come to the place of comprehending the light and interpreting God's truth, the Lamb of God, for your life. Ephesians chapter 1, this powerful prayer, you all know it. I'm just going to read one verse from Ephesians 1, 15 through 21. I'm just going to read verse 18. I like this. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That you get it. That you comprehend the light. Because then you know the hope of your calling. Then you're positioned for the full capacity of the Spirit to do what he wants to do in you and through you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So the light shining for you and for everyone else in the most deep, darkest, and difficult circumstances of our life. But at times we need help understanding. I think this really is what ministry gifts are for. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, present to help. Present. This is what mutual faith is. We're present to help. Yeah, we do the good deeds. Hallelujah. We feed, we clothe, we bless refugees. And I love doing that stuff. We have a new campus, by the way, in the Baca Valley, right on the Syrian-Lebanese border. It's awesome. I was there. I taught there. We do it a Sunday afternoon for all Muslim families. We had like 50 people there. And they're all in their Muslim garb. They're Muslims, but they're coming to understanding of the gospel. And they lift in their hands. They're praising Jesus. It's beautiful. And then during the week, we have a program for all these disadvantaged kids to educate them and to teach them. But it's being present to help people get it. So the light comes on you. You got to be kidding me. The love of God is that rich and that real for me. It's a wonderful thing. So ministry gifts to me are present, yeah, to do these natural things, but they're present to help you get it. And that's why in Ephesians 4, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And thank God for the ministry gifts. And it's to equip the saints, right, for the work of the ministry. I think our main work as believers is just to be present. To hang out in people's lives and people's worlds, yak with them, and figure out how we can shape their thinking to the gospel and help them to think of their life and think of their struggles and think of their world through the lens of the Lamb of God. I'm present to help. I'm helping people get it. Come to the revelation of God's love and grace for you. Now, here's what happens if people don't get it. Later in the same chapter, in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. If you don't get it, you walk the old way. You live the old way. You do the old stuff. Flesh dominates. You're not in spirit life, you're in flesh life, right? We all have those struggles. In the futility of your mind, that's what it says here. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened. It's like the lights are off, and yet the light's present. But they don't get it. They don't comprehend the light, and the light's there. This is what happens many times, I think, for people, is they experience Jesus and never get it, never understand, never comprehend what his work has really done on their behalf. So their understanding is darkened, and it says they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of the heart, and they give themselves over to nonsense, nonsense is my word, but it's kind of the loose paraphrase. You know, you give yourself over to just a carnal man, a carnal life. But see, God's love for you is to be present within you to help you and to help you understand all you are in Him, but even more importantly, all He is in you. You have access to everything you've ever needed now, at all times. You have access to everything you ever need. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So like I said, people can have an experience with Jesus and come away blind. Changes nothing. Let me explain what I mean. Acts chapter 9. You can see in your Bible, this is the story. Remember old Saul? He was a religious brother, man. He was educated. He was one of these brilliant guys. He was educated by the sharpest, smartest folk of his, you know, generation. And he was anti-Christ. He was anti the way of the Lord. And so he would persecute people of the way, the Bible said. He would consent to their death. He was kind of nasty. And so Jesus had enough of it. So Jesus said, I'm not going to send a brother to talk to him. I'm going to talk to him. So what happens in Acts chapter 9? I'm just going to paraphrase it. You can read it, verse 1 through 7. But let me just tell the Keith Hershey version. What happened was, Saul is just living his life in the light from heaven shone and knocked him to the ground. And then Jesus spoke. He had a conversation with Jesus, man. Shouldn't that change everything? And Jesus said, hey, bro, how come you're persecuting me? Why are you wrestling against me? And so they have this conversation, and Paul goes to the ground, and the light doesn't make him see. The light makes him blind. Sometimes people have an experience with Jesus, and they're darker for it because they don't comprehend the light. They really don't get it. They don't understand the beauty of the new covenant. Paul was still stuck in an old system, thinking righteousness was based on his efforts to the law. And righteousness never can come that way. It's always a righteousness that is by faith. Abraham's righteousness was a righteousness by faith. And so what happened, Jesus just said, I got nothing else for you. I'm done, but here's what I want you to do. Go to Damascus. On a street, the street's called Straight. There's a brother there named Ananias. Let him talk to you because I'm done. Have you ever been so frustrated with somebody that don't get you? Just, okay, we'll try this another time. Only three of you. Hallelujah. I heard two or three wonderful laughs. Hallelujah. That's like saying amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, you just, okay, we'll try this conversation another time. I'm that way. I'm sometimes impatient. I get frustrated with myself, and I say, "Okay, all right. Well, let's work on this another time." You know, one of my calls this morning, I said, "My brother, listen. Okay, let me sort this all out. I'll get back with you this week, because he couldn't get what I was saying. So we weren't comprehending, and he's a good brother. Nothing wrong with brother." Maybe it was on my communication end, possibly, most probably. It's normally, I guess, that way. But I said, we'll fix it. We'll revisit this week. That's better than let my heart rate get up a little higher than it was. You know what I mean? Because all these things affect our emotions, don't they? They frustrate us. And then if we don't guard our heart, we can get frustrated with people in the wrong way. So it's very important that we guard heart. So Jesus said, okay, I'm done here. You don't get it. Go to Ananias. So God then gets a hold of Ananias. Said, hey, bro, I got a brother coming to see you. His name's Saul. And Ananias says, listen, I heard about the brother. I don't want have nothing to do with him. He's a nasty guy. He's vicious. And the Lord said, no, I have something I'm loading your heart up with right now. I want you to talk to him. And so you know what happened? Ananias said yes to the deal. What was Ananias as a disciple, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus going to do? He was just going to be present to help. Help what? Help interpret the light. Because the light was there, but the light wasn't understood. And so you know the story. It says that Saul shows up to Ananias' house. Ananias says, hey, Brother Saul, what's happening? Have a chair, you know? Let's talk. And the Bible said for many days, it just didn't happen in an instant with a quick prayer. They talked. See, this kind of friendship in ministry, I think, is cool. This is where, when you come to a church like this, you find it in your events. Your summer nights are going to be awesome. Your summer camp for your kids is going to be awesome. The groups, life groups, or whatever they're called that you've had, they're important because you hang out with somebody, you sit with people, you have a drink, you eat, you have coffee, you laugh, you tell stories. But in the process, you're getting strengthened and you're getting established in the Father's love for you. And the light comes on in the simplicity. The light always doesn't come on from the pulpit, from preaching. It comes on a life through the many days with each other when we hang out. That's why for you to come a few minutes early and stay a few minutes late is important. And say hi to two or three people and encourage them. And tell them, hey, get ready for the best week of your life. God's on your side. Especially when you know people's circumstances or you know they're in pain. You lift them. You're present in their life to help them. And you're helping them keep their faith focused in the Lamb of God. Because I tell you, he does all things well for you. He really, really does. Go with me to Acts 22 real quick. That wasn't a real cry, so you can't write that one up, chalk that one up. Keith cried. That wasn't a full cry. That was just like a starter that I bottled up. Hallelujah. Okay. Anyway. Acts 22, this is now like a couple decades later. And now Saul, who is now called Paul, because now he's a preacher of the gospel, of the light of the Lamb of God. Huh? And so he's given a testimony because people hate his guts. I tell you, in culture, in our world, there's going to be people in the system, the world ways, you know, whatever. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus in a public way, it's not always applauded. People will stand against things, you know? And they were doing it to Paul in a big time way, so he's given a testimony of what happened. Look at what he says in Acts 22, verse 12 through 15. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, Paul remembers testifying, telling his side of the story, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. He came to me, he stood to me and said to me, Brother Saul. Notice Ananias' greeting to the rascal. He called him brother by faith. Sometimes you can't see people according to the flesh because people are frail. Yeah, no, we all are. You see everybody through the lens of the Lamb, brother, sister. I call everybody saints. I say, hey, saints, great to be with you, whatever. Because if I know myself according to myself, it's not always a pretty picture. I know myself according to the finished work of Jesus. I'm a beloved saint of God, and so are you. So Ananias said to Paul, or Saul, he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. Then he said, notice, this is what's important. What's important is the word that's spoken. And he said five things. God has chosen you. Look at this. The God of our fathers has chosen you. You should know his will. You should see Jesus. You should hear his voice. You should be his witness. Five principles of preservation that brought illumination. Where Jesus was interpreted or comprehended correctly. His scales fell off, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he immediately began to preach Christ. It's amazing. So sometimes for us to really get what Jesus is saying to us, it needs to be it needs to be heard again and again from the brothers and sisters. It's really, really important that we have people in our lives, friends in faith, who can speak to our lives. I always tell people in their darkest, broken, they think they screwed up forever, say, hey, friend, here's the good news now. Let's not let the light be extinguished. Let's comprehend the light. The finished work of Jesus is your covering. You don't cover yourself. The Lamb covers you. And I want you to know something. God, he's chosen you. You're a son of the Father forever. No more disappointment about nothing. Let's shift our thinking. Let's receive the forgiveness which the Father's already granted in Christ. And let's walk in the fullness of what God's assignment is for you. Because, you know, people get disappointed that they're lackadaisical or they screw up or whatever it is. But listen, the truth is the call of God is still the call of God. You're called to be in His family. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. This to me is a beautiful thing. God's chosen you. You can know His will. And that's why I don't think you ever have to live in the dark about nothing. About your kids, about your world, about your marriage, about your career, about your dreams. You don't have to live in the dark about nothing. You can comprehend the light. God doesn't fill me with dreams to frustrate me. He fills me with dreams to carry Him for manifestation. And He does that for your dreams, for your family, for your grandkids. I was talking with your pastor a little bit before church, just about a couple of my granddaughters, you know, just different things. And, you know, I want my girls to get it. Because, you know, sometimes people grow up in church, they grow up around people, and you just don't know, are they comprehending this? Has it captured their heart? Has it captured their mind? We need to comprehend the light. And this is a powerful thing to understand. So you got to hear the word. And that's what Paul heard. Those principles are worth repeating over yourself. God has chosen me. I can know His will. I can see Jesus. I can hear His voice. That's intimate, right? And interpret it right. Comprehend it. I can be His witness. Those five principles are for you too. They're for me. And this is what preserved Saul to make him Paul. And what did he do? He was present to help people. How did he do it? He did it with the word. Always take a redemptive word. See, faith is found in a redemptive word. It's the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. Now, some translations say it's the word of God, but actually the word is Christos in the Greek. It's the word of Christ. It's the redemptive work of Jesus where your faith is found. Faith always flows from the Lamb. He's the author and finisher of all of it. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then you got a merry heart. You know, every time I'm in a droopy mood, because I don't have a word of Christ in me. A redemptive word will make you sing. A redemptive word will make you fight through the despair and the frustration. You need a word of Christ in you. How do you get one? By hanging out with a believer who's got one in them. You come to church. You sit down next to somebody. You talk. You listen to a fivefold ministry gift. And your heart stirred. Glory to God, the Lamb has got me. All is well. I'm comprehending the light. I don't want to experience the light and live in darkness. I've done that before. There's no joy in that. Trust me. It's just miserable condemnation. So you and I have a way to have the redemptive word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then you sing and dance and celebrate the goodness of God. Hallelujah. You know, this is what Jesus taught about with the parable of the seed. The seed only worked with those who comprehended it, those who understood it. If you want fruitfulness in your life, it doesn't come just by getting the word of light, the word of revelation. It comes by comprehending it. When you read Jesus explain about the sower sowing the seed, it's those who understood, those who comprehend, were rooted and grounded and brought fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. I just want fruit. 30 is fine with me. I'm not going to complain. I want fruitfulness in my life. I want the fruit of joy in my life today. I want the fruit of peace in my life today. I want the fruit of 30% will do me just fine. Thank you very much. I'm going to have a word of Christ in me. I'm going to understand the love of God for me, and I'm going to have fruitfulness today because I'm in the now, and so are you. You need it today. And the way you do is you have the preaching of the word, and suddenly your heart comes alive. You say, glory to God. God, hallelujah. And you swallow it. That's all you do. You believe it and say, let's rock and roll. Thank you, Lamb of God. And then underneath in the quietness of your voice, you raise a hallelujah. And you look to the challenges of life by faith. And this is where God does all things well. I love that whole thing about comprehending the light. It's a beautiful thing. You know, the Bible says we're to arise and shine. Right, in Isaiah chapter 60, You know, you can't arise and shine unless you comprehend something. You got to comprehend the beauty of who you are. Otherwise, you'll never go public with your faith. You'll never sit alongside somebody who's so broken and have a heart to help unless you comprehend the light. But you got to rise and shine and let the Lord know he's doing something beautiful. You know, let me tell you another story real quick. This is found in Luke 24. This is where Jesus is on the road to Emmaus. I like this story because it's the day of his resurrection. And Jesus is preaching, and the people he was preaching to didn't get it. I love it. That encourages me so much because so many times I'm communicating, whether it's one-on-one or preaching, and people don't get it. So I look to Jesus as my example, and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus preached and people didn't get it. It encourages me. Remember the story? So these two disciples walking along, you know, on the road to Emmaus, disciples of Jesus, he joins them. He says, why are you sad? Why are you so freaked out? Why are you so depressed? Well, haven't you heard? Jesus said, heard what? Now, you think Jesus knew? Sure he knew. But he wanted them to talk. Sometimes to be present to help, you have to hear people's nonsense. You have to hear how people think and see their own environment and their own world. And then you enter into their world and you bring them out of their world with the gospel. And this is something so powerful to me. So Jesus said, heard what? And they said, well, the system came against our Lord. He was going to establish a kingdom, blah, 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 blah. And so Jesus began to preach concerning himself. He preached Christ because now he's a new covenant guy. Yeah. He just established the new covenant in his resurrection. So he preached Christ. That's what the Bible says we're to preach. We're to preach Christ and him crucified. So he preached himself. The Bible says he preached himself through the books of the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms. That had been a great message, man. Hearing him see himself in all of it. So he preaches Christ. And you know what I like about the story? The light of the world, the Lamb of God, the risen Lord is with them, and they don't get it. They don't comprehend it. The best preacher ever. And they don't get it. You know what Jesus said? He said, okay, I'm done here. We've walked like 7 miles here. Let's sit down. And they said, they compelled him, it says, hang out. So what did Jesus do? He said, I got one other tool. I got communion. And he broke the bread. Give them the cup. Their eyes were open. This is why I take communion often. Because sometimes the best preaching in the world, your mind's in another place. You're filled with fear and anxiety. But when you sit, say, Lamb of God, you've got everything for me. Your heart comes alive again for the day. And all you needed right now is for the day to get back strong. I preached too long. Did you all have a good time? Yeah. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here's the good news, whether you know it or not, or whether you believe it or not. God loves you completely. And he loves you as you are. Whew. If you can comprehend that and carry that revelation to everyone, it can change anything. If you can believe God loves you, you'll have the courage to love him authentically. But until you believe you're loved, everything else is a work.